I need to go forward or go backwards. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you, Brother Adam. Thank you, Praise Team, for just a wonderful spirit-filled, spirit-led worship this morning. Old preachers used to say, if that didn't start a fire, your wood wet.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning and open with me to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark. I want to find the second chapter of Mark this morning. One of my favorite miracles performed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 2. Amen. I want to begin reading in verse number 1 for those of you who have your Bibles. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise, that is, it was reported that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, in so much that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born by four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, for the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lie. Verse 5 reads, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. I want to talk to us this morning about three sides to the same miracle. Amen. Three sides to the same miracle. Father, we are thankful for this opportunity. We're thankful, Lord God, for the sweet spirit that is in this place. We thank you, Father, for your presence. Lord, we really need to hear a word from you today. There are people here who are hurting. Perhaps there are people here who are lost. God, maybe there are people here who are far away from you and they're wondering if they could ever come back again. And so I pray this morning in Jesus' name that you would, Father, speak to us in such a way that all of us would be able to understand it. Live it out in our daily lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Three sides to the same miracle. I want us to look at this text this morning from three different directions. From three vantage points. First of all, I want us to talk about the problem that all of us experience. the problem that all of mankind have to deal with. Secondly, I want to talk to us about the work and the ministry that every church and every believer ought to be performing. And finally, I want to say a word about the grace and the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Three sides to the same miracle. Let us start first this morning by talking about the problem that every person experiences in this life. Mark tells us in chapter 2 that there is a great crowd who have gathered around the house where Jesus is resting. And in the midst of this great crowd, there is a man who's sick. Mark tells us that the sickness that this man has is a disease called palsy. It's an old term for paralysis. Research tells us that this is a terrible and a dreaded disease. It's a disease that robs you of your strength. It robs you of your ability to take care of yourself. Mark wants us to understand that this man is a perfect cripple. He's totally disabled. This disease, this sickness called palsy. There are four things that I want you to know about it. First of all, it rendered its victim weak, without strength, unable to take care of yourself, unable to work to provide for yourself, unable to wash yourself and to clean yourself. You were totally dependent on somebody else. That's what this man had. He was a cripple. He was paralyzed. But not only does it rob its victims of its strength, the second thing about it is that it would cause the limbs of the body to wither up and become stuck in one position. I want you to get a picture of this man that Mark's trying to talk to us about. He's weak. He's lost all of his strength. He got legs, but he can't walk. He got hands, but he can't feed himself. He's weak. Every time you try to stand him up, when you turn him loose, immediately he falls. His hands, his legs, his limbs are drying up. They're withering. And he's stuck in an uncomfortable position. But not only is he weak, not only is his limbs withering and he's unable to do for himself, and he's totally dependent on somebody else. But people that had this disease suffered severe shaking and trembling. If you've seen this man, if there was any movement about him at all, it was just an unusual and an embarrassing shake and tremble. You couldn't trust him to hold anything that was of value because he shook so bad, he was liable to drop it. His trembling kept him from holding anything steady and in the right place. I want you to get a picture of this man. Because he's weak. His limbs are withering because of this sickness and this disease that he's got. And then he got the embarrassing, the humiliating shaking that he can't control. He's just shaking. He's just shaking. He wants to stop, but he can't. Have you ever had anything in your life that you couldn't control? You want to stop. You want to be free from this thing. But he just shakes all the time. But then the fourth thing about this man with this dreaded disease, Matthew, is that research tells us that he was constantly in pain and discomfort. He was always hurting. If you sat him in the recliner, he hurt. If you laid him in the bed, he hurt. If you brought him on the inside, he hurt. If you took him on the outside, he hurt. He was always in severe and constant pain. Have you ever had pain in your life? Have you ever hurt so deep on the inside that no amount of Advil or Tylenol could help you? That's the condition of this man in Capernaum. But the spiritual significance of this is that all of us have spiritually been where this man is physically at. Sin will cripple you. Sin will cause you to be in pain. Listen, sin will cause you to shake uncontrollably. Amen. Listen, sin will break you in places that you thought you couldn't be broken in. Sin brings you to that place where you're absolutely totally dependent on somebody else. That's the first side. But I want you to see the second side. Let's talk a minute about the work of the church. Because listen, in verse 3, Mark tells us, and they came, underline, they came. They came, but they didn't come by themselves. Amen. They came bringing this poor and broken and diseased friend. That's the work of the church. That listen to me. While we sit on our padded pews in our air-conditioned buildings, we need to remember that all of us have the responsibility of bringing somebody to Jesus Christ. In fact, let me just tell you that everything that God has given you has been given to you for that purpose. You are to use your money to bring somebody to Jesus. You're to use your talents and your good sense to bring somebody to Jesus. You're to use your time and your abilities to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. I want us to talk for just a moment about the work and the ministry of the church. There are four things I want you to understand, Solid Rock, about our ministry. If it's going to be effective, if it's going to be used by God, if it's going to make a difference in this community, listen to me, if it's going to impact people around us, there are four things that these men had that we need to have. The first thing that they had is that they had a care and a concern and a love for their friend. They cared about him. They cared, listen to me, they cared about his condition. They cared about his sickness. Listen, they couldn't rest until they got their friend some help. I won't tell you this morning, I ain't picking, I ain't meddling, I'm not mad. But the reason why some of us don't bring nobody to Jesus is because we just don't care. They cared. Dr. Rogers used to say that a church that don't care for the lost ain't worth the ground that it's built on. They cared. Listen, they cared about the people who were hurting in their community. They cared about the people who were suffering in their community. They wasn't just caught up in the me-ism. They didn't have their focus on themselves, but rather their focus was on the brother who was hurting. This is pretty good preaching, y'all, whether you know it or not. Listen to me. While we build our big buildings, we pad our already padded pews. While we fight and argue about stuff that don't even have no eternal significance at all. Who cares what color the carpet is? The paint on the walls won't bring one soul to Jesus Christ. Nor will it heal one hurting heart that's been broken by a life of trouble. And while we fuss and fight, while we scratch and claw for authority and position, while we undermine and cut down so that we can elevate, while we take what God has given us to give to somebody else and spend it on ourselves, souls are dying and going to hell. And one of these days, my friend, you and I are standing before God and we'll try to have to explain this mess that we made. I got some grace for you, but we got to get through the pain before we get to the grace. I told the Lord this morning, I said, Lord, I'm going to preach fast, so you need to help them listen fast. Number one, they cared. Never in the history of the church has there ever been a less of concern for the things of God than it is right now. We don't care. Amen. But these boys cared. They cared. They cared about their friend. Let me tell you something else. Not only did they care about their friend, they knew where to find Jesus. I made up my mind a long time ago that the only friends I'm going to run with are those who know where Jesus is at. They had heard, word had got out that Jesus had come back to Capernaum. And listen, and these boys knew the house. They knew the address. They knew the city in which he was living. And they said, we're going to get our friend to Jesus. Can I tell you a problem with the church? Listen to me. If you listen, say amen. Because this is what coming to church for. Listen, you know a problem with us as Christians? We hang out with people and we kicking it with folks that don't know where Jesus is and they don't care to know. You can't be my running buddy if you don't run with Jesus. Because let me tell you what I know. I know this right here. I know how easily I am influenced. And if I hang with you too long and you going away from Jesus, it won't be long before I be forgot about Jesus. There's some folks in your life you need to cut loose. Amen. Listen to me. There are some folks in your life that's making you smile while they feed you poison. Ooh,
yes. Yes, Lord. Amen.
They knew where Jesus was. And I want to hang around folks who know where Jesus at and know how to get me to Jesus, not if my life get in trouble, but when my life get in trouble. But let me tell you a third thing about these guys. Not only did they care about their friend, not only did they know where Jesus was, but let me tell you, listen, they knew the power of teamwork. Listen, they knew the value of teamwork. They knew that they were better together than they were apart. Lord, help me, because listen, there are some of us who have been around, we were born in the church. We were raised in the church. We've been around the church for a long time, and we still hadn't learned the value of teamwork. Amen. And I got a hunch, listen, I got a hunch. The reason why we don't do it at the church is because we don't do it at the house. Amen. They knew, listen to me, they knew the power of teamwork. They put this brother on some kind of bed. It had four corners. Terry on one corner. Teresa on another corner. Steve got his corner. Thomas got his corner. And the three on the opposite corner was depending on you to carry your corner. If you let your corner drop, the whole mission hits the ground. They knew the value of teamwork. You know what I like about this story? Is that they didn't fight about who was going to lead and who was going to follow.
Yeah.
Brad, they didn't say, now, if you give me the lead corner, I'll go. There was no discussion. There was no argument about who was carrying the most important corner. Because see, here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is that some of us ain't gonna do nothing unless we in front. If my name ain't in the spotlight, if I'm not getting the glory, I heard Dr. Charles Stanley say, and it made perfect sense to me. He said, you're not fit to lead until you learn how to follow.
Amen.
Lord help us. And there are some of us that you can't lead us nowhere. I was looking at Rhonda. I don't know her that well, so I can look at her. They knew the value of teamwork. It took all four of those guys to get that brother to where he needed to be. I asked this question a couple of weeks ago at a devotion. I want to ask it now. Are you carrying your corner? Are you carrying your corner in the work of the ministry? Are you carrying your corner in the marriage and the family? Some of us work harder at not working than actually doing the work. I promise, the Lord told me one time, he said, it don't take no anointing to be lazy. So you're born with that. I knew what he was saying. Are you carrying, listen to me, serious business. Are you carrying your corner? Or has it dropped and everything that's on that bed is suffering because you are out of place? It took all four of them. It took all four of them to get that brother to where he needed to be. Let me, can I tell you something? It takes us working together. We seen some of it yesterday. We'll see some more if the Lord tarries. There are hurting people in this community. And a few of us won't be able to get it done. So are you carrying your corner? The Bible said, that when they get to the house, there's such a crowd there that they can't even get in to see Jesus. There's a great multitude all around the door, and they can't even get in to see him. They didn't do what many of us would have did. They didn't make excuses as to why or how they come back later. It's been said that if you're looking for an excuse, you'll find one. I promise you, every Sunday morning I get up, the devil give me an excuse why I don't need to go to church. Am I the only one that deal with that? Amen. In fact, let me just tell you, it get way deeper than that. Well, Miss Maddie make me mad. The devil will always give me a reason why I shouldn't forgive her. If you're looking for an excuse, the devil will hang you one every time. Amen. 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 I got tickled at Terry Glover. No. I got tickled at Terry Glover. Because he was talking yesterday after the outreach. And the devil, yeah, I'm going to tell you something. Listen, I know he can't be everywhere at the same time, but he can run to two places pretty quick. Because apparently he stopped at the Bledsoe house and then went on down to the Glover's house. Because he told me yesterday morning when I got up, he said, now listen, I'm going to tell you right now. So I want to go ahead and prepare you. Ain't nobody coming to this thing. Say, it's going to be you and just a few faithful down there. And y'all just going to look at each other and look stupid. And he started handing me these reasons and excuses why you just need to go ahead and call now. And don't embarrass yourself, man. Come on. Look how the wind blowing out there. Rain gonna move in a few minutes. See, he tried to predict the future, but he don't know the future. Look. They understood. They understood the power of teamwork, but let me tell you one other thing that they understood. They understood the reward of persistency. See, somebody has come here this morning, and you're hurting, and you're confused, and you're troubled, and you're being tempted to quit and give up. But I want to tell you there is a great reward. That, listen to me. There is a blessing that you get in being persistent that you can't get no other way. They knew the power. Listen to me. They knew the power and the reward of persistency. Because I'm telling you right now, if they had been me standing there with this guy who is dead weight in the hot Middle Eastern sun, I could have handed you 10 reasons why we need to come back a different day in a few minutes. But here's the problem, Dwight. Some of us have forgotten how to be persistent. You quit too quick, and you quit on the wrong thing. This making sense? I love this story because, look, those old boys knew the power of persistency. Sometimes life hurts. Sometimes life gets difficult. Amen? There are days in my life when I promise you it's easier to quit than to take one more step. Here's my final little point this morning. Miss Glenda's going to come and share a testimony, and then we'll have the invitation. I've talked to you about the pain that we all experience. We experience pain because of sin. This sickness that this man had is a spiritual picture of the sin that all of us had. And you still have it if you don't know Jesus Christ. I've talked to you about the work and the ministry of the church, and I hope that you understand that this is not a beatdown, but it's a challenge to you. That if you're a child of God, if you're a born again child of God, you need to be involved. Maybe not at Solid Rock. Maybe not in what we're doing. Everybody can't buy into our vision. I understand it, but listen to me. There is enough hurting and lost people out there that none of us should go to heaven by ourselves. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the grace of the Master. In verse 1 of chapter 2, the Bible said, and Jesus entered again into Capernaum. I love that. He entered again into Capernaum. He had been in Capernaum. Remember, he went to the synagogue. He healed this man of an unclean spirit. He went to Peter's house, and he healed Peter's mother-in-law of the fever. And then the Bible said he left Capernaum and went to Galilee. I'm sure the folks of Capernaum didn't know it at the time like we know it now. But when Jesus left the area, that was a bad deal. T, I love to pick out little things, little phrases in the Bible and just have God to speak to me. And God reminded me, listen to me. He reminded me, he showed me that he came back to Capernaum. Ain't you glad that we serve a God who loves us so much that he can't stay away from us? You see, he didn't come back to Capernaum because he needed Capernaum. He came back to Capernaum because Capernaum needed him. He didn't come back for what they could do for him. He came back for what he could do for them. I'm glad that I serve a God who will come back. Amen. Listen to me. I mess up daily, often in a day. And I give him every reason to walk out and forget about me. Hey, but listen, but because my name has been engraved in the palm of his, every time he look at his hand, he think about me. And he came back. He came back to Capernaum. And maybe you're here today. Listen. And there's some distance between you and the Lord. And the devil has tried to convince you that God has washed his hands of you and he's through with you. And listen, if he washes his hand every time he washed, he see you. He comes back. He comes back to us. But listen, not only did he come back, in chapter 2, verse number 2, the Bible said not only did Jesus come back to Capernaum, but he gave them what they needed. At the last part of verse number 2, listen, the Bible said he preached the word to them. Let me tell you something. If you want to see the power of God, now listen, this we're coming to church for right here. If you want to see the power of God, you got to be willing to receive the word of God. And some of us will live our whole lives and we'll never see the awesome, mind-blowing power of God because we got no room for the word of God in our hearts. Jesus gave them what they needed. He gave them the word of God. I feel sorry for people who don't have no need for the word of God. There's some right here in this church. Amen. Amen. You want to hear what Mr. Trump got to say? You hang on every word of the governor or the senator? You're more interested in what your peers say than what God says. But you will never, Michelle, listen to me. You will never see God work in your life the way he wants to work as long as you stay shut off from the word of God. See, listen, there are folks in here this morning just because I said some things that got on your toe. You already checked out. You just ain't got the nerve to walk out. But I'm telling you, listen to me. We need the word of God. We are walking in a world that's full of hidden bombs and landmines, traps. But the word of God says, your word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my pathway. Listen, there are some here this morning. You, if you would be honest, you are in total confusion. You walking around in a fog. And it's all because you have rejected the word of God. There is no peace to the rebel. Do you hear me? You rebel against God and the consequences can be severe. And he does not do it because he don't love you. He does it because he really loves you. God said, you walk away from the word, give me back my joy. You walk away from the word, give me back my peace. You walk away from my word, give me back my sanity.
Amen.
A lot of times, listen, a lot of times that don't bother us. We'll keep walking. We'll keep walking. But then God said, you walk away from my word, give me back my money. And that stops us. Well, now that you're good and mad, Jesus gave them what they needed. He gave them the word. The only thing that can heal broken people like you and me is the word of God. Here's my final little thought on that. They tear the roof up and they let this man down. And the four boys, four country boys up on the roof, they're saying, he finna heal him. He finna heal him. If we can just get him down there, he's gonna heal him. And Jesus does just the opposite of what they thought he was going to do. Jesus didn't deal with the symptoms. Jesus dealt with the root of the problem. You see, listen to me. The symptoms is pain, confusion, heartache. Listen, but the root of the problem is sin. Oh, God, y'all missed that. I waited all day long to give y'all that and then. The root of my problems. Let's not talk about your problems. Let's talk about my problems. The root of my problems is sin. And if you don't deal with the root, the symptoms keep coming back. Jesus dealt with the root of the problem. The root of the problem was sin, and they let that boy down, and they're expecting Jesus to do something for him physically, and Jesus steps into the spiritual realm and does something for him spiritually. He said, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've heard the Lord say some things to me over my lifetime. But the sweetest thing I ever heard God say to me in all of my life is, I forgive you. Amen. That's a song worth singing. Maybe you're here this morning, listen to me. Maybe you're here this morning. Like Pastor Anthony, you've done some things. You thought some things. You thought about them, and then you did them. And you're wondering if there's any grace for you in this thing called forgiveness. What I love about this story is that Jesus didn't have to think about it. Jesus didn't have to ask no permission about it. He didn't ask the board to vote on whether or not he was going to forgive this man or not. He just said, son, your sins are forgiven. I want to tell you this morning, listen to me. If you'll come to him, if you'll humble yourself and you'll come to him, there is not a sin that he will not forgive. Come on, Miss Glenn. Stick it in your pocket. You got a pocket.
Three pockets.
Hold it in your hand.
Okay. Many of us have a dark side of our lives that we usually don't talk about, but a couple weeks ago, Anthony said something that really triggered in my mind. I wasn't raised in church. We started going to church when I was in the youth. I was saved at 17. By the time I was 18, I was married the first time. I got out of church. I started partying, got around the wrong side of the people. But when I had Andrea in March 97, I knew something had to change. I needed to be a better example in her life. My parents came and got her every weekend. And then they invited me to homecoming in September. And people at church knew that I'd been partying and drinking. And when I walked in, I felt like they were staring at me. And they knew, hey, ways. She was on the wrong side of life. And that, you know, like, what has she been doing? And then he started gambling and verbal abuse. I called home to my parents and told them I was just ready for a change. I needed to get my life back. God. And I moved back home, been a single mom. It was rough. And people would ask me about my past. I tell them, you know what? I'm a new person now. I don't want to hear it. I made new friends. Got a new job. You know, often we smile at church. We know person has dealt with, or we all go through things, good times and bad. You know, you're not alone in life. I hate to say this, but a lot of people these days have been divorced. We all have it. Some of us have health issues. I'm going to share 4 years ago, I was in a bad car wreck. I have a silent illness, seizures and migraines. You may look at me and say, you know, I'm perfect, but I'm not. God has a purpose for everything in our lives. During the divorce, I got a different job, and one night I went walking. And I met Michael. He, I knew from high school. And we just started talking. At that time, I started by church. Well, he was out of church. His dad was a preacher. And I said, you know what? If you want to date me, you have to come to church. And then he said, you're going to come over to my mom and dad's. And I said, okay, if this is the person you want me to marry the second time, and this is going to be the one you want me to be with, because Andrew's dad, well, he passed away in July of 95. He wasn't a very good dad. He didn't care nothing about her. Show me a sign that this is the man you want me to be with. It was. His dad is a preacher. Michael has took care of Andrew like his very own. We never could have any children of our own. The person beside of you may be going through problems. You know, sometimes we need to ask each other, how are you doing today? While here at this church, even though we've only been here a year, I have felt like this church is more than the church friends. It's been more like family. You know, we need to learn more about each other. When we smile, we need to be hurting for others. And the song he's going to be playing next is, you need to listen to the words. Because, you know, sometimes we just need to give our pain back to Jesus and give it all back to Jesus. Give it all, the gift, difficulties, and everything.
What a testimony. You stand with me this morning.